This morning we want to encourage our hearts in an area that we all think that we know something about. I'm more convinced that we know very little about it. It's an area that when we're not moving in it, that area is an area of life. Very discouraging to us because we see certain things that are revealed to us in the scriptures and we wonder why they're not working in our lives. We see certain things that God has said that will come to pass and we are not evidencing them in the degree that we think we should. I find that we look at the effects of walking in the flesh. And we try to deal with the effects rather than the cause. Of course, the cause of walking in the flesh is because you're not walking in the Spirit. Very simple. And of course, we're persuaded by our intellect that we can go a long ways even though we're convinced of certain truths, but we're not utterly cast upon Him to realize that there's only one way to start this race and there's only one way to finish this race. There's only one way for us to walk. There's only one way for us to live. And if we're not walking in that area, if we're not living from the power and ability that God gives, and of course we can make excuses about these areas, but this morning if we can come to the place that we can deal with our excuses, we will have come a long ways. Galatians probably, and you can look at Galatians in a number of different ways, how God deals with certain aspects, and you could say He's dealing with those that have gone back underneath the law. He's showing forth grace and what that really means. But to me, it's the difference between life and death, the flesh and the spirit. And this is what Paul, as he writes to these Galatians, this is his emphasis is on the spirit control life. Not only partaking of it, but walking it out. I know, because we know certain facts, we think that we're living in that. But I'm talking about this morning, if I might, and let this speak to all of us, including myself, and it is, to have a continual working and anointing of the Spirit in our lives is the only way that we're going to walk in the newness of life. Continual. Not spasmodic. Continual anointing, continual inspiration of the Spirit of God enlightening our being, giving us the ability, the power, everything that we need to live this new life. We have come across these scriptures so long that I don't know where we put them. We must have some kind of a box that we slip them into and say, well, that belongs there and that belongs there. But I'm thrown back to the place that, you know, just like Paul says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it's not yet in vain? He, therefore, that ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And I'm brought back to the very familiar verses that we know there in the third chapter of John. Here's Nicodemus. Here's a man of letters. Here's a learned man, a leader in Israel. Now don't just pass this by because you know the facts about it. And as you read the account, and we might just look at it for a moment because I think we need to look at the mind of the Lord as He deals with this man. And it says that The man came to Jesus by night, speaking about Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. We know that thou art a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Listen to the answer of Jesus. He didn't wait for Nicodemus to say, you know, what must I do? Nicodemus didn't say that. Jesus got right down to where you begin. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born into this life. You must be born of the Spirit. Now we know this, but we're not firmly convinced that this is the only life that we have as far as God is concerned. Why do we need to be born of the Spirit if we're not going to live in the Spirit? Why are we going to have life in the Spirit and not walk in the Spirit? It has no meaning. But Jesus got right down to the very core of Nicodemus's need, and I find that it strikes to the very heart of each one of us. It strikes at my heart to let me see clearly and to cut away all of those things, those crutches that I might be trusting in. I don't care what it is, because I find that many times that as we look at these areas, knowledge that we have about certain things we depend upon rather than utterly cast upon the Lord. And when I say the Lord, I'm speaking about the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And of course, that liberty is not the liberty that we think, but it frees us from everything that we were and brings us into the reality of this new life in Christ. There's many questions that we ask. If you're not asking them now, you will ask them. Why isn't the church one? Why can't we have fellowship with one another? Why are we going our own different ways? Answer, we're not under His control. Now, if you can take that, if you can, you know, receive that. Because this is not, this morning, I'm not meaning this to condemn any of us. I'm just saying we need to realize that if the Spirit of God is in control and we're walking in the Spirit, then God is doing His perfect work. I cannot be sensitive to God in just certain aspects of my life. I cannot pigeonhole these times that I want to accept the working of God. I must lay my heart open to Him and realize that if I have life, and that's life in the Spirit, I've been born of the Spirit, made alive in the Spirit. We've gone over these scriptures so many times, where it says in Romans that the same Spirit that raised Him up, the same Spirit that gave Him life. If it quickens your mortal body, makes us alive, how do you think that we can start there and not finish there? That's what the Galatians is all about. They started in the Spirit, but they were trying to finish in the flesh. I was brought to this awareness again and afresh by reading two verses. One found in 2 Corinthians 3:6. Who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Jesus speaking in John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. How many times have I read that? I can say 500. Easy, and I think most of you all can say the same thing. You've read it numerous times. But all of a sudden I read it and it grabs me. I know these things, but yet do we know them? Are we completely thrust upon God? I mean, have we given up this old life? Have we received this new life? Are we walking in a new and living way, alive unto God? The new way is the spiritual way. And that's why Jesus dealt with Nicodemus as he did. Nicodemus, before Nicodemus asked him anything, he just said, you know, you can't do these things unless God is with you. Nicodemus, for you to even see the kingdom of God, for you to enter into the kingdom of God, you must be, what? You must have new life. That's what he's saying. What kind of life? Spiritual life. So when we start to see this and put our trust in God and put our faith where it belongs, where we're walking in faith and no longer trusting, because you can't walk in faith and not walk in the Spirit. I'm talking about a continual walking. There may be times that we can have faith, because I believe there's aspects even in the unbeliever's life whereby he has an ability to trust God. In other words, how can he begin unless he has faith in being justified? So God has given every man, I think, a measure of faith, and that measure is to be used in the first step. But to walk on, we must have the ability of God. We must have the Spirit of God. We must have God in us. We make so much allowance for the flesh. It takes away from that pungent working of the Word of God if it's ministered in spirit. Because we're trying to intellectually convince somebody. We're trying to intellectually convince them and declare the Word and let us do its rightful work. The Word is powerful if it's spirit. If you're moving in the spirit and the ability of God, it is powerful to do its work. We don't have to convince somebody. We don't have to take and argue about a certain point. Declare it. What's more powerful than the Word of God? I mean the living Word of God. That's what I'm saying. Nothing more powerful. So as we look at these areas and we see that the words of Jesus are spirit and they are life, if we can start to see the difference between the flesh and the spirit in the manner that God has set forth in His Word and carried on through and the working out of it. Because we see Paul, you see his emphasis, and of course we've used this verse again. This is another verse that we use time and time again. found in the 5th chapter, the 18th verse. Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I find that the actual wording of this here says, being filled. In other words, a continual being filled. What does that mean? Because when we think of filled, well, we always think of something that we can look at, something that is filling up something. Use the word control, because that's what it means. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, you're under the control of the Spirit of God. Not under the control of the flesh, not under the control of anything that the flesh has to offer. With none of its excuses, because it's the flesh that makes its excuses. The Spirit never makes an excuse. Hello? Yeah. And of course, as long as we're justifying ourselves, we're in the flesh. You don't have to justify yourself. All we have to do is move in the Spirit. How are we going to be one? If we've begun in the Spirit, then that reality of the Spirit-filled life, being continually filled with the Spirit, must do its work, its perfect work. It must bring us into a place of harmony to where we're no longer moving intellectually, emotionally, with certain logic and facts, but we're moving in the life of God. There's a big difference. That doesn't mean that when we're moving in the life of God, the truth is not effectual. It is. But when we start to look at the letter of the word, it has no power. And you know this. This is not something we have to convince each other about. There's millions right this morning that are using the word, quoting the word, and it has no power. We're talking about the Holy Spirit coming and bringing with Him that ability, that power to be. Because unless we come to this place, what we see and what we desire and the longing that's in our heart for that relationship with God and with one another isn't going to be there, because it's only brought by the new life that's in Christ, the Spirit life. The life that's been quickened and made alive by God. Are you going to start in the Spirit and finish in the flesh? Are you going to start to trust in what you can do rather than what God can do? Are you going to move? You started by faith and now you're going to be justified by your own works? Now you say that doesn't apply to us. How many times does it apply to us? And I again, don't take this and something that condemns you, but something that would bring light to our pathway. How many times, when I look at the Word of God, I must be open to let that Word of God shout at me. Because if I don't open up my heart, I mean my whole inner workings, if I don't open up my spirit to God, it can have no meaning to me. It's just the letter. And it kills. Oh, I can memorize it. I can do all of these things that man is trying to get to do us. And they think that this is eternal life. Man, this is the first thing you need to do, is put the Word of God in your heart. They say, and what they're actually saying, put it in your mind. If we're going to have the Word of God, just walk it out in our life. Why I say all of this, I think all of us here this morning, and let me speak for you, I hope I'm speaking for you, all of us are desirous of the community that God has designed for us. That means oneness. We all desire, I trust, to be in oneness with God and in oneness with each other. And that is an impossibility separate from the provision of God. Impossible. Try all you want to. Bring in all of the most beautiful programs there is. There's only one thing. The Spirit of God, the anointing of God that breaks every yoke. That gives us the ability that we need to love. You can't love without the Spirit of God. You can have an expression of your emotions. You can speak words. But are they life? We cannot love separate from the life of God. You know, put it any way you want to, because the terminology so many times trips us up. The Spirit that come to abide with us is the life of God. It's no longer us living. It's a new way. It's a brand new way. A way that has never been before, that God has chosen to come and live within you. We're looking for harmony outside of this dynamic working of the Spirit of God in each one of our lives. It won't happen. The Spirit of God working in our lives removes all of our excuses. The time that we're living in, everything demands our time. Would you agree to that? Because none of us can sit here and can say that the whole world around us, the whole system does not demand, I said now. It doesn't just entreat us. It demands our time. You have a choice. God doesn't take that choice away from you. With the Spirit of God abiding within you, you still have a choice. You have a choice to yield to the world or yield to God. Because I see, as these areas started to open up to my heart, I see that even the humility and the harmony that comes and what God wants and what we're desirous of and what we're hungry for can only come as the Spirit of God is in control in our life. There's only one thing that comes together. It's the life of God. There's only one thing that can build us together. It's the Spirit of God. What does it mean to be built together? We have our own thing. We think being built together is just coming to a few times of maybe a little Bible study and a little singing and all of that. But that's not being built together. And we wonder why people are going their own way and serving God in the flesh. Are we giving them an example? Are we letting the Spirit of God take and bring us together in life? Baptized into His life. This is the only place, and he goes on to tell you in Galatians there, he goes on to tell you that, you know, if you're in the Spirit, no longer is there lust in your flesh. Of course, we can start to see this when we start to see clearly what it really means to have the Spirit of God in us, have life in us, us alive unto God. We're no longer under the law, no longer under the natural, no longer under a set of commandments. We have entered into a higher law, the law of life. Glory. Maybe you don't think it's a wonderful thing to be freed from the demands, because they're there. The letter. That's why when Paul is writing in the 8th chapter of Romans, when he says, therefore there is now, he's speaking about the Spirit-filled life. The Spirit-controlled life. Living in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Get all of these the same thing, because there's no sense in saying I have life in the Spirit and then I'm not walking in the Spirit. Paul says, get your walk lined up with your living. That's so far away from our comprehension that... And it's all because we have taken and said certain things to ourselves and make excuses, and not realizing that it is the natural that makes excuses. The Spirit of God makes a way for the will of God to be accomplished. And of course, as we look on, we need this continual, how can you say it any other way than that inspiration, that awareness of God's presence, that awareness of God's light shining in your way, where you can walk, where you can talk. Because we sure don't need to minister the letter. It killeth. And as Paul says, he has made us able ministers of the Spirit. So if we're not controlled by the Spirit, we're not living in the Spirit, then we're not talking in the Spirit. Then we're not ministering in the Spirit. We're ministering the letter. And that's the difference. I don't care how well you dress it up. I don't care who's bringing it. I don't care how nice it sounds. Without the breath of the Spirit, it's death. I don't know what that does to you this morning. And as again, I say, I'm not preaching yet. It's just one. I'm convinced that, you know, that puts me to a place before God. That brings me to a place of humility. No way can I say that I can do anything separate from Him. We know the Scripture, but what does it mean? It means separate from the very life, from the very Spirit of Christ that dwells within us. We can do nothing separate from that. Can you imitate fruit? Yeah, we can imitate fruit to a certain extent. Until we bump into something and then we lose our fruit. We fall back into the flesh. Does that mean that a spiritual Christian can never take and lose their composure? No, I didn't say that. You have to look at the consistency of a life. Because there's a place of maturity. There's a place of growth. But we've got to grow from being grafted in to the vine. There's got to be a flow of life into us. There's got to be a source of strength. There's got to be a source of power working in us continually. So that means, and it's hard for our natural minds to even comprehend, continual inspiration. Impossible. Well, I'm going to take the opposite side. And I'm not going to look at myself. I'm not going to look at you. I'm going to look at God. Is it possible for a continual, constant inspiration of His life within you to lead you and guide you and make everything alive? Amen. As long as I don't look at myself, don't look at my excuses, don't look at my weaknesses. Because all of us, I mean, look at us. We're human beings, weak. But have we tasted of that divine? Have we tasted of that spirit that comes from God that makes us what we were not? Glory. Amen. Beloved, we've got our hearts must reach out to God because we're all weak. We all have the same weaknesses. We're made out of the same flesh. But hallelujah, He has made the way whereby we can be born of the Spirit, made alive in every aspect. And now we can walk in faith in all of the weaknesses that we have without an excuse. Because of His grace. Because of what He has done. No sense in us saying, well, I'm sorry, I'm still in the flesh. No excuses if you're in the Spirit. Because the Spirit is meeting the holy demands of a righteous God. Every time, and I don't care who it is. I don't care who you are, what your weaknesses are this morning. The Spirit of God in you is greater than all of your weaknesses. Greater than all of your learning. Greater than all of your logic. It's life. We cannot move, nor can we see what God has designed for us to be because, you know, I look at the plan of God. It's wonderful. How can it work? If I look around us and I'm looking for examples, it's hard to find them. It's not being critical now. It's just hard to find it. So I've got to look back to the Word of God and I've got to say, God is, whether we see an example of it or not, because our sight is kind of short-sighted. We're limited. Probably you can't see more than two or three blocks in literal sight. And of course, your knowledge of certain things, my knowledge of certain workings of God are very limited. God has a total overview of everything. Let me say this to us this morning. I say it to my own self. God is building His church. Jesus Christ is the head. It's not moving according to program of man. It's moving by the Spirit underneath the anointing, the continuing inspiration of the Spirit. It has life. It's growing in that life. It's growing in understanding. We are a living witness to the reality of all that Christ is. What God is doing, I'm talking about. Have we attained? No. We're growing into the full stature. Has God made provisions? God has made provisions. See, what I'm saying to us, we have to start to see some evidences of the theory, so to speak, that we are speaking about, because until it's reality, it's merely theory. You can say this morning, Brother Gordon, that's merely your theory. until you enter into the life of it and start to partake of it. It's no longer theory. It's life. Because God's life is only going to act one way. It's not going to act two ways. I said it's going to act one way. God's way, not man's way, not my theory, not my evaluation, God's evaluation. Just like Paul said, I can do all things. Through who? Through Christ, through the Spirit of God that dwells within Paul. You can't read the inspirational writings that have been given to us by the Holy Ghost through these different writers and not see where the Holy Spirit puts the emphasis. Go back to our passage there in 1 Corinthians in the second chapter. Listen to these words. Eyes I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. How much knowledge this morning do any one of us have that's this kind of knowledge? Are we depending on what we have learned and what we know in our minds? How many of us have revelation knowledge? And revelation knowledge to me is inspiration from God. God revealing to you. How much of our knowledge is inspirational knowledge from God that He's speaking about here? Any of this has not entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him, but God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. No things. And I come to that. Helpless heart. And yet by His grace this morning, He opens the fountain of heaven. He throws open the gate to the tree of life. He said, come and partake. Come and partake. Come and drink. Are you thirsty? Oh. Beyond our anything that we can comprehend with our mind, the love of God. It can only be apprehended by the love of God that He sheds abroad in our hearts, by the Spirit that's come to open up this way to where we can see, where we can feel. You think you can feel in the Spirit? You think you can sense in the Spirit? You think you can move in the Spirit? You think you can see in the Spirit? Amen, you sure can. Well, you think He takes and makes this body alive if it's not to where we can now start to sense in the Spirit, that we can actually feel the Spirit of God as He moves? You've got to make the difference between your emotions and the Spirit, because there's a big difference. Too many people say, I know it's right because I feel good about it. What a joke. I don't care how good you feel. If it's not truth and doesn't line up to the life of God, it has no meaning. You say, well, I have peace about it. Whose peace? Your peace? How come in a couple of days you lose your peace? I've seen it happen time and time. I've got peace about this, and all of a sudden they come down the line and they've lost it. If we have the peace of God, we've got to walk in the peace of God. Peace of God has got to be that evidence of His arbitration in our life that causes us to know Him and move on into the fullness of His will. Glory. You know, I can't see clearly until I come to a place of nothingness. I can't reach out and say, oh God, fill me, until I come to that place that I know I'm empty. And I came to that place this morning.
Amen.
Lord, I'm empty. I want Your fullness afresh. You say, what about yesterday? Weren't you filled? I'm not interested in yesterday. Yesterday's gone. I can't do anything about yesterday. It's today, Lord. I want the fullness. I want the fullness today. I want a hunger and thirst for you today. I've got to know you the same as I knew you yesterday. My experience of yesterday is no good for today. Hallelujah. I have to be alive in the Spirit. Nicodemus, there's only one way. You can't know this by knowledge. You have to be born into what God's doing. And if you're born into what God's doing, you're going to act like somebody that's been born of the Spirit of God. All right. You know, when we look at each other, we say it's impossible for us to be one because all of us got our opinions. In the Spirit, you don't have your opinions. Glory. I'm on it. I'm talking to those of you that you know what I'm saying is true. Amen. I don't know whether you know this last part or not, that when you get into the Spirit, you don't have your opinions. You're focused on Him. You're focused on the truth. That's the only way that we can become one, is to be born into the family and then live in the Spirit. Because if we take the book of Galatians and see that we're no longer in grace, if we're trusting in the flesh, then you see that there's a place that you can fall back into that area and trust in the flesh. No longer is the Word. You can read it from cover to cover. No longer is it Spirit and life. It's letter. And you learn it, you memorize it, and when you come to the trial and you say it, you speak it out, it has no power. It's the Spirit that gives the power. It's the Spirit that gives the strength. It's the Spirit that gives the wisdom. Paul says over in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, all of these manifestations are to profit withal. Glory. All these manifestations of the Spirit of God, what He wants to do. See, as long as we're willing to settle for coming together and just listening to somebody else speak, we're not going to be moving in what God has. Doesn't mean that God is going to use people to speak. I'm not saying that. As long as that satisfies us, that's all we're going to do. I'm not interested in that. I want to meet with God because I have to know those words coming to me are Spirit and they are life. The only way I'm going to know it if I see it lived out in your life and my life. No sense in talking it unless you can evidence it in the lives of those that are hearing it. Don't tell me you believe it unless it's affected your walk. Let me tell you I believe it unless you see it being walked out in my life. Come on. Because we can make all the excuses of why we can't or what's happening. And I find that all of us drop back into the thing, well, you know, I'm still in this body. I'm still in this flesh. All I can say is, if I get to that place, I know I'm a long ways from what God wants. When I drop back with that excuse and say, I'm still in this flesh. Yeah, you're still in that body. But if the Spirit of Christ dwell in you, there's something different. There's a power that is evident in you. There's a calmness that's there. There's an ability to take and overcome everything that's thrown against you. You say, I can't. In Christ, the only thing you can say is, I can. Glory. I'm not talking about the things of the world now. I'm talking about the things of God. You can't say, I can't. Don't tell me that you can't live this life. You can. He's made every provision. You cannot look at the provisions of God and experience it. Now, you can look at them and admire them and say, oh, isn't that wonderful? But to experience them and then say, I can't, impossible. The love that God gives us, we can love our enemies. And you mean the love that God gives us cannot submit us as His children together and love the brethren? Come on. That's where we've got to start. We've got to start. If we say we have a life that's filled with the Spirit of God, here's where we have to start. We have to start to manifest it. You know, one of the things that is our trouble is that we're not willing to submit ourselves to one another in the fear of God. Did you know that there's no other way? You thought that there was another pathway where you could sneak out of this and you wouldn't have to really submit to one another. There is no other way. Sneak out if you want to. But you're going to have to sneak back in somewhere and say, I left the Spirit of God when I snuck out. Let the demands be greater because they're God's demands. Because with every demand comes the ability. God's ability. Never gives us more. Never reveals to you more than you're able to do. Never gives you a greater revelation than He does not give you the power, the ability that He has to work it out and walk on through it. How much do you want to see God work? I know we're so probably fed up with the word church and all of this, and maybe not. Maybe some of us are not so fed up with it, but I think there are some that are fed up with just talking about church. He didn't just talking about church. He's living in the reality of the very life of God and starting to see that it's working. We're one. We're moving together. We have the same judgments. Do we have time for God this morning? I hope I haven't put a heavy burden on your shoulders or on your heart. But that's not what I'm feeling. I'm feeling power. Amen. Power of God. I'm feeling weak in myself. Praise the Lord. Because if I thought I could do it, then beloved, we would have a program that would end no programs. We did one time, years and years ago, we had a program that was better than anybody else's program. Until God took our program away. We found out that it was not God's program. God doesn't have methods. He has Himself. And you'll find that all that you need is sufficient in that relationship and in that fellowship with Him. And if we're fellowshipping with Him and walking in all that He has said we are, because that's where He's at, in the light. And there's no darkness in Him. You don't have to make excuses for any shady areas, because if you're walking in Him and walking in the light, there's no darknesses in your life. You're open. We have fellowship. It's only as we make excuses, we don't have time. The rush is off. For what? Brother Gordon, you don't understand. Beloved, this morning, I wonder if God understands. Honestly, can I come to God with my excuses when He's given so much? Even to the giving of Himself to indwell each one of you. That you can know what real joy is. Not joy of the emotions, not joy of the moment, not joy of the occasion, but a joy that is lasting. A peace that passes understanding. A love that unites, submits, and has a proper reverence for God. All I'm saying, beloved, this morning is I see in a measure what God wants. And I see there's only one way to the pearly gates. There's only one way if I'm going to behold His glorious appearance, if I'm made ready. And that's the Spirit of God that He has left to adorn us with Himself, to prepare us in reality, not in theory, in reality, of people that are one. A place of humility. Because you've got to get low enough to where you can let Him pour into you Himself. Long as there's one area of you think you can do it, you're not low enough. Come on, let's get on down. All of us need to get on down to that low place this morning and say, Jesus, fill me with Yourself. Fill me with Yourself. Then we will see clearly. We will see clearly how to meet the needs of those that have not begun the race. Because it's no different. Somebody comes to you and says, you know, no man can do those things unless God be with him. You know what their need is. They need to be born of the Spirit. And we need to know what that means. Most of us don't know what it means. We think that what it means to be born again is to have change of heart or mind. That's not being born again. Being born again is being born of the Spirit, made alive of the Spirit. We'll know how to minister life rather than death. Come on up with your 1, 2, 3. It's death if it's by the letter. Only the Spirit can give life. And you find that Jesus didn't follow after Nicodemus when Nicodemus left. We need to find out that we need to sow in the Spirit. And as God brings those along our way, we need to water a little bit in the Spirit. And we need to have one revelation to our heart that it is God that gives the increase. Glory. Amen. So this morning, if we watered a little bit or if we've sown a little bit, praise the Lord, God must give the increase. But if what your heart is crying for, it can come no other way except as we live and walk. Put them together as we live and as we walk in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.